And welcome, welcome, welcome. Good evening to this Friday edition. Yes, guys, we've got rain, we've got cool air, we've got some moisture, and it's a Friday. Some people have been paid already. Hint, hint. Let's not identify. However, it is your business and economic zone. It is the end of the week session. And we are going for a slightly more opposite direction. I know I sounded a bit upbeat, but the upbeatness or the lively perspective actually comes from the direction in terms of where we possibly could be going. Now, I stress that component as tonight's discussion will greatly focus a little bit on the youth, especially the youth element. In Namibia, the youth element is considered up until the age of 45. Please do not ask me why. Please do not ask me why. Do not ask me why. But the future in the short term, being the next 3 months to 6 months to a year even, looks dire. Now, we start off in terms of me with this little bit of levels of negativity because here's the scenario. There is greater unrest, especially being witnessed around the world, especially under the youth component as well. Let me narrow it down on the African continent. On the African continent, greater discontent is being observed from various corners, especially from the youth demographic. Now, understand, guys. Understand. I am actually a proponent for everyone. I'm not a proponent just for the youth, just for the private sector. I'm actually someone that walks around a little bit of a wishful thinking, you know, in my mind, in terms of, you know, what if we had a perfect society? What if we had, if everything was sorted? What if every Namibian could claim and call and demand quality service delivery from whichever function of society? Yes, I do think like that. But at the same time, I have to also stop myself with a sense of reality, with a shot of reality, in order to indicate to you, well, everything cannot be perfect. Now, I start off our discussion with that introduction because of around the corner, which is actually next month, not next weekend, the weekend after that, we will see COP27 take place in Egypt. COP27 is that United Nations climate platform, when all the countries around the world who are members and who are members to that specific platform will be participating, meeting, and thus also deliberating, I think for a good week and a half, about the way forward with regards to the fighting climate change. Now, I've got to add you in with a little bit of an excerpt that I found on one of the various civil society organizations in the country. And this specific one is where actually a Namibian participant is taking place, but it's not about the Namibian participant nor the organization that he also is with. And the introduction that this specific organization's intro has is that the world is faced with several crises which are shifting the contours of social, economic, and political realities significantly. The onset of COVID-19 within a world faced with climate change, and recently as well the Russian invasion of Ukraine, presents a convergence of crises with disruptive consequences. That's exactly what we are experiencing. Not seeing, experiencing. Africa is caught in these crises as both a victim and a proxy at a geopolitical level. Youth is the biggest yet most disenfranchised demographic group, which is faced with a precarious, vulnerable, and uncertain future, that they also face two contradictions of being expected, on the one hand to be the guarantors of social stability by adopting dominant values and behavior patterns of society, and on the other to be a driver of the ever faster and therefore ever more necessary social change. Now, if you start off from that specific two perspectives, and that's just a quote and or an excerpt that I read to you there, in terms of highlighting the platform. And I know you might be asking, Dwight, it sounds similar almost to like a social kind of discussion. Well, if you haven't noticed, guys, economics is a social science. I don't know how more to tell you this or to inform you every time. Economics is a social science. Economics looks at who are the producers, who are the consumers. It's not just about looking at money, my friend. It's about looking about the leveraging of resources in order to produce what needs to be consumed by the consumers. Obviously, there's money in the play. Now, starting from our springboard in terms of looking at the paradox that the youth around the world, narrowing it down on the continent, narrowing that even further down in Namibia, are facing, the situation is dire. There's no two ways I can even smooth that out. The situation is dire. The situation is dire. We've got to stare reality in the face, guys. And we've got to identify when reality turns its ugly face towards our direction. The situation is dire. Now, as much as many of the other international platforms might say that Africa hosts the labor force for the future, Africa is going to sit in the next 50 years with the youngest and most desirable demographics, i.e. that they are going to be young enough, they're going to be educated enough, they're going to need jobs, opportunities and the likes. The current situation does not point to said change that would be required. What do I mean by the current situation? Well, you've got to look at the socioeconomic situation that you find in your community, in your neighborhood, in your town, in your city. Just take a look there. Look at the level of service provision probably coming from local authorities. Look at the level of service provision in terms of investments taking place. Now, remember, investments can be the form of either capital projects, either local authority projects being implemented, either various initiatives being brought together, because there's only so far, for example, like my past discussions and some of the discussions I've indicated towards, where NGOs, civil society organizations, you know, all those kinds of works, or for example, community members pulling together to try and do their own thing because they feel like they're being left behind somehow. There's only so much that you can do. There's only so much that can be achieved at this pace that it can be allowed to be achieved. I say that it can be allowed to achieved because in most cases, the latest technology or the means or the equipment is not there to speed a process up. And around every corner, obviously, everyone wants to be paid. They don't want to do things for free. Now, I point to you a looming dire scenario. I do not know what it looks like. I'm not a weatherman. But it starts looking ever more dire by week, by month, by day, by hour, by minute. The second scenario points towards the statistic I read to you last night with regards to the discussion, the importance of civil societies in a broader economy or in a country, where I started off with a G7 economy, the UK, that in 2010, 2011, they had 61,000 food banks. By 2020, 2021, they were sitting with 2.5 million food banks. Now, if you see such a scenario happen in a G7 economy, we don't know what's happening in the US because a lot of times China and Russia at various instances point to the faults of the great capitalist system that is the United States. Because the United States, which is a country that loves pointing out the faults of other countries and nations, China and Russia would always point to them and asking them, but you have got poor people, destitution, in your New York's, in your metropolitan areas, in your urban areas, in your cities. In most parts, a lot of those destitute people are youth. Yes, guys, it's not just in Africa, it's not just in Namibia, where you see the youth having to struggle to find jobs, to find opportunities. In some cases, they are left to fend for themselves, and they really had dreams in terms of studying further. But in other parts of the world, especially, it's also not as hunky-dory as we sometimes think. It's not. It's really not. Now, if you see in first world countries, if you see in G7, G20 countries, they have a youth problem as well. Providing opportunities, jobs. The platforms for these youth or members of the youth demographic, because I won't say CADA, demographic, is the same problem everywhere. Everywhere. For us to think here in Namibia it's a unique situation, it's not. It has only become obvious to us. It's only become apparent to us. Meaning, so in your eye, so in your face, in your line of sight, you hear it, you see it, you can talk to the people, you know what their frustrations are. Back in last year, 2021, I remember interviewing the Honorable PDM Member of Parliament, Ina Hingari herself, as well as also a member from the youth that she even referred me to also interview for said, you know, take in terms of that scenario. Remember, guys, under Namibia standards, I also still qualify under the youthful component or the youth segment or demographic of Namibia, i.e. up until 45. Remember, I'm still within that cluster. Now, even then, I have to identify, because obviously all of us, we do see various perspectives, and we also generate our own perceptions and perspectives at some times with the kinds of information that we are faced with and the discussions we also have. What am I talking about? Well, I extensively at that point interrogated, you know, both Honorable Hingari herself, as well as also the member of the youth. I just forgot the young gentleman's name. And from his perspective and from her perspective, you hear the same thing, but you see two different directions that it comes from. Firstly, she indicated that you hear of the destitution. People that have gone, they've finished studies, but they're just wasting away at home. There is no opportunity for them to get into a entry-level job even. From his perspective, it was a notion in terms of seeing family members who also studied, who are looking continuously for opportunity, but the opportunity just does not present itself. Now, in much of the business and economic zones discussions, you would have heard the salient, the undertone, the not often mentioned scenario, but it does exist. You do realize that in the modern day societies that we find ourselves, even though it looks completely capitalistic, there is a resource shortage. And what is this resource shortage? Employment opportunity. Back in 2018, guys, when I was still in the print media industry, especially in the advertising component, a South African consultant was brought out in terms of to try and provide consultancy services at that stage in 2018, sorry. I remember the gentleman very, 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 very clearly. Yes, his name is Gary, but I keep forgetting his surname. Now, Gary himself is also, just like me, an advertising man. Actually, he has more experience in it. He's worked at the biggest advertising platforms, or not platforms, but the biggest South African print platforms in Johannesburg, predominantly, that looked after print runs of at least 70,000 to 100,000 newspapers in one print setting, meaning what they can distribute. Well, we have to understand South Africa is a country that sits with 60 million people as well. So it's a big population. And i.e., if you had to look at the cluster of Johannesburg, you know, it's a pretty metropolitan financial powerhouse of South Africa, as well as also where most of the money actually is generated in South Africa. However, Gary indicated one good thing, and he constantly helped us with the coaching side of things. But even though he was there to try and find our faults, we have to identify that, and then in terms of identifying said faults, eliminate them in order to make us more productive. But Gary also realized that in some cases, there are people who are starters, meaning they would love to start employment opportunities. They would like to start businesses, entrepreneurial endeavors, the likes, you know, be real go-getters. And then there are people, even though they have studied, who just want a job. Who just want a job. They just want an opportunity to be able to earn the comforts in their lives and then live their life. They don't want to be in the limelight. They don't want to seek leadership. They just want to be able to go to work every day, go back home, and just live their life. I know, guys. We know people like that. I know people like that. We all know people like that. But then, a different reality pops up. Now, this said different reality is what has brought the conversation of the youth, the dire straits, not to put a pun on it, and not to lend the term also from the legendary rock band, the Dire Straits, not to pull that pun from their band name. It's just that there is a dilemma. There is a problem. I can't say problem, because problem obviously would mean we would then try to find the active solution in order to try and solve it. I cannot also indicate it as a dilemma, because there is a sense of emotional frustration within the youth demographic that exists. I cannot ignore it, nor can I deny it, because I can also see it. I can. I know you can. But then another question also pops up at the same stage, and this is where the thinking outside of the box mantra also comes into play. If you put yourself outside of the youth demographic, and obviously outside of the participatory thinking method or line of thinking, take yourself out of that cluster and then try to look from outside, you know, from outside in. The question then you start asking is, where will this lead? Where will this go to? Because if we have to look at the roadmap of Namibia, much of Namibia's economic promise and potential and ability to somewhat try and prosper, or sense of prosperity, is being placed in two baskets: the oil discovery baskets and the green hydrogen basket. Now, when you see scenarios like that occur, I automatically start thinking, are we going to produce enough professionals who can be employed in those two spheres of extractive industries? Now, you and I know what extractive industries need. They need a lot of engineers. They need a lot of technical people. But here's the other thing, the other reality. Not everyone is going to be an engineer. Not everyone is going to be a building contractor. Not everyone is going to be involved directly with the green hydrogen, nor the refining, the construction of the pipeline that is housed within the MOU between Zambia and Namibia. Not everyone. Now the question starts then. What is the template? What is going to be the answer? Not every Namibian wants to be involved in agriculture. Even though agriculture forms as the bedrock economy for every country on this continent, including Namibia, including South Africa, not every Namibian can participate in that economy. Not every member of the Namibian youth wants to be tilling land, wants to be a goat herder, wants to be a sheep rancher. Not every Namibian wants to be that. They want comforts as well. They want to be able to have security in terms of going to a job, coming home at afternoon, and being able to go out and meet with their friends for a beer, for a brew, for a glass of wine, for a little bit of just some chill time. They want to be able to drive a car in a city, living in an uptown apartment, not having to worry about the future, the economic future, or prosperity of the economy. Now, I'm not saying, I'm also not pointing any fingers, ultimately. Because this is sometimes things that have been in the making for a very long time. This is also sometimes issues and problems that have been ignored for a very long time. I mean, I can go into, well, my latest term is now ad nauseum. I can go into ad nauseum about how the commercial banks in Namibia are actually not supposed to be active participants in the property market. Because the template, in order to help every Namibian participate, to get a job, not to get a job, to get a house, a brick and mortar house, not a shack, not a sankaya, not a shack, a house, brick and mortar, wherever you live, with running water and electricity to it, was supposed to be through a building society, was supposed to be through the entity known as NHE. Not the commercial banks. But the commercial banks, if you have to look at things, they woke up to this phenomena at our independence. And I'm not saying Namibia's independence. There was a major global socioeconomic move with the collapse of the USSR, obviously, where for some reason capitalism just went like boom around the world. And capitalism saw the first thing to get involved with was actually in the property market, i.e. banks starting to selling products, home loan mortgages. Mortgages is a very new concept in the banking sphere. But there's nothing we can do right now because there's a whole economy that thrives on the property market. Now, ultimately, in the broader discussion, if you have to not extract it, and sort of like, not extract it, but expand it, in the United States, there's a lot of resentment, especially to the baby boomer generation. If you want to know, Uncle Bona, if you are listening, it's your generation. The generation that now finds themselves between, mostly, they should now be between 55 to 75, the baby boomer generation. The baby boomer generation, guys, had access to land. Namibia obviously was still under different kinds of administration, but they had access to jobs. The economic situation was very friendly. There was jobs abound. There was property abound. Property that was, you know, that had services running to them. The local authorities, obviously, if you have to look at Namibia's scenario, the local authorities, you know, they had two sets of service delivery taking place. We know what it was, obviously under apartheid. So, but it was still functioning. That's why you hear many Namibians coming out and said, you know, it looks like the time pre-1990, pre-Namibia's independence, looked a lot more friendlier, a lot more promising. Yeah, It would look to you like that, if you did not experience it. If you did not experience it. But unfortunately, many Namibians did experience it. They felt the brunt of apartheid. Now, before I reach the top of the aisle, which is about a minute and 20 seconds away, the key thing here is, unfortunately for members of the youth, if you are listening, the situation, when you look at it on a global scale, does not look friendly if you're now finding yourself between 15 and 35. It does not look friendly to you. And I'm not asking you to look at political leadership. Just look at the economic forces at play. Businesses want to still operate and make their money, i.e. the prices of everything still continues to rise around every corner. OPEC's decision just 3 weeks back to decide to cut an estimated, according to them, what they reported, 2 million barrels of oil production per day, is actually going to force more petrol increases towards December this year.
Whether you're a Fed cookie or a Podaiki, 20K could be on your way. Stay tuned. NHP, we're about you.
The International University of Management, IUM, with the Umbo no number no wish we faguja, or Mentirongo or Durataya Academic Year 2023, or Patruka, ended it up if you record a paparoe more education, who can along if you got it a buffet or health and social science, or show my fano information and communication technology, or strategic management and leadership, Natimonica, no tourism, or show hospitality and event management, business administration, environmental studies and postgraduate studies at Shota de Monica. We're there, Otto Monica co website www.ium.edu.na. You know, Tadepo and IUM, the Kulipo Pepe. More than Duca, Monko Renguru, Mongo Diva, no Mompae, Otta de Monica. We're there to hang a Congo Jia Venduca 061 Ongo D, Ne, Natonatu, Oma Vedi Hamano, Inda Commesho, Kufetokoro de Monjira, Toiko Monaku, Wainera, Pamena IUM.
Now, coming back from that extended break, and the important thing to indicate is, it is still going to look dire. I know, I already ended on that note, but the situation is, and just to read you another excerpt, this one coming from the Al-Fanar media outlet, they sound pretty, yeah, they're from Kuwait. No, not from Kuwait, sorry, but they seem to be from Egypt/Kuwait. Now, there's this other phenomena. I know in Namibia, we do frown upon the notion of activists or activism or even just a protester or demonstrator, because in some quarters of the population, Namibians ask questions, why are you complaining? Why are you demonstrating? In some cases, it is legitimate concerns. Actually, in most cases, it is legitimate concerns from demonstrating workers with regards to, you know, their working conditions or their demand conditions for more pay, to even youthful members regarding social issues and that this needs to change. Now, at every corner, you do see a bit of a problem. The problem being, there's too many unhappy people. Why are people unhappy? I know, it's the same question that President Geingob would sometimes ask, especially since the COVID briefings, the ones that I watched, the ones that I attended personally, where he would ask, why are people unhappy? He asks a legitimate question. Obviously, being the first citizen of our country, And if you look at the distance between where he sits and the most disgruntled person on the ground, there's a big, big distance. A massive distance. Probably as big as the Fish River Canyon. From end to end. I'm not talking from bank to bank, you know. Side to side. No, I'm talking from point, from start to finish. The Fish River Canyon. The reason for that? Obviously, there are ministers in between that have their various portfolios to look at, that have their various roles to be in charge of, that need to do service delivery. They need to. But as mentioned, there is a bit of a disconnect in terms of the generations to come, or the younger generations to come, who form part of the youth demographic, in terms of that they also want opportunity to be employed. You see, being economically active, guys, there is a psychological implication there that you are happy. You are happy. You can earn a job. You know where you are really unhappy? If you don't have a job. Even worse, where you are happy, is if you are doing a job, but you're not being paid adequately. But that's entirely also a different question, because, well, in some cases, and that's also sometimes why I try to understand the internship scenario around the country as well. I know with my alma mater, internship is a designated prerequisite. Doesn't matter which department you find yourself in at NUST as a student, you have internship as a subject. You must pass it. I understand that part. But if you want to give people opportunity, you want to hire them on a short-term contract? Why? Why? Why not just try and hire them? I mean, if an SME has to take the risk of hiring someone who has never done a job in their life before, but they've studied, they are qualified, even if they're not, their qualification doesn't match up with the job they're willing to do, an SME takes the risk. Why can't the big corporates do the same? But obviously, everyone has that thing known as they reserve, or they own the right in terms of who and where they want to absorb a labor force or more people into the labor force. Now, the situation is, in terms of Namibia going forward, guys, in most parts, I've highlighted to you the many, 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 many gaps. And it's not gaps where an opportunity needs to be gained or grabbed upon or pounced upon. No, it's it's a gap that exists in terms it does not solidify the Namibian house. It's not a pun I'm extracting from the president. Please, guys, don't misunderstand me. I'm indicating it like that because Namibia, as many other African countries, we find ourselves at a precipice. We find ourselves at a precipice because we are still trying to identify things of how do we want to be involved in the global play of the global economy, sitting and also being able to determine our destiny in this global economy. The worst part is, and I've a handful of indications here on the Business and Economy Zone indicated to you that the fourth industrial revolution will be a catastrophe for the Namibian labor force. Everyone. If you do not know what is at the heart of the fourth industrial revolution, it's even going to be a bigger shock for you. We are still trying to find ways of ensuring that the generations for tomorrow will still have jobs, will be participating in SME functions, will be participating in corporates, the bigger companies and bigger private entities in the Namibian economy, and will also still be in the political spheres of the country for the future to come. In the heart of the fourth industrial revolution, it eliminates the human. It takes out the human. We are talking about, and for some reason, I see, you know, some academics going on lauding the four IR wave and what it could bring. But at every corner, I see this thing is taking five jobs from five Namibians or from five humans that are supposed to be there. At every corner, I see it. Do you know that in China, they already have automated cranes, the cranes that move the what's the thing's name? The containers on shipping on ports at the dock sites. They already have automated container movers. It's an AI program that moves the crane. Because the containers are put in designated zones, the crane has sensors on it. It picks up and it moves the whole time. So that it works 24/7, 365, no break, no lunch, no holiday, no leave, no sick leave, no maternity leave, no nothing. No salary, just electricity and a license fee. Now if an AI replaces 10 people, what disaster do you think it will cause in the Namibian labor market? And then you wonder why, guys, we have the existence of the something like the basic income grant coalition them. I'm not signaling to them in terms of, you know, what they aim to do. I'm signaling that they are already looking at a disaster that can still further. They're already trying to bring your attention to disasters that are currently already there. Things that have been exacerbated by the COVID pandemic's occurrence in 2020. Looking ahead even, you can only see a rough ride from here. You can only see a very difficult journey for the Namibian economy. And if you want to understand the implication of it, think of it in this sense. The person that earns a salary in your household, imagine now if that person is made redundant by something like an AI program. And then second onto that is, the government or the state does not have a safety net to look after humans that would be made redundant because of AI replacing 10, 20 roles in departments where you just have an administrator ensuring that the AI runs fine. Now the youth has to compete with AI programs. Not every member of society can go and study IT nor engineering. I keep telling you that. Because then ultimately you will be experiencing shortages like there will be no teachers. There will be no nurses. There will be no doctors. Because if you look at the communication strategy coming out for especially from, let's for example say, those that are involved from the educational sphere, i.e. the authorities, which it would include the educational ministries, to the tertiary institutions, to whoever that is involved in talking about the advent of the fourth IR or the role of this automation and discussion about it, of technology going ahead. No one is talking about allaying the fear that I've actually been sitting with for a good 5 years. You see, guys, the first industrial revolution way back in the 1800s had one big issue. Exploitation was rampant. There was child labor. There were repeated accidents, and this is in Europe and in North America. And at that stage, colonialization was just at its beginning, meaning it was in its most brutal form. And think about it, no workers' rights, no adequate pay, no government representation with regards to workers' rights, and all that. Now this is what the youth of today have to look forward to for the next 50 years. For the next 50 years. Countries like the United States that are already dominating the tech sphere, the fourth industrial revolution platform, have dubious labor, they have dubious labor reputations. In the United States, guys, they have dubious labor standards. You can get fired for being sick. Do you know that? In the United States. You can get fired for being sick. Now I ask you questions about that. With the convolution of said fears, said realities, the future does not look as shiny as it is promoted to be. It doesn't. It doesn't. I actually feel sorry for all the labor unions, because a labor union only exists if they are workers at a company or in the industry that they represent. I really feel sorry for them, because the fourth industrial revolution also poses the threat of completely eliminating the labor unions. Employees in the tech industry are not people that join labor unions. They are not. They don't participate in labor functions. Now, if the youth has to look at these discussions, and most of the things that I've read so far in terms of my literature support for tonight's program points towards youth activism and activists about climate and stuff like that. The climate, guys, won't go anywhere. The climate will change. Humans might be there over the next million years, but the planet will still be there. The discussion that the youth actually faces is economic uncertainty. Now let me get this caller in. Eagle FM, good evening.
Oh, thank you very much, my young brother. How are you?
I'm okay, and you, Uncle Bwana? I'm feeling a little bit of a pessimistic right now. But you know,
sometimes for you, your research and understanding go very much deep. And for somebody who, I don't know.
No, you can say it, Uncle Bwana. Say it, say it. Say it, let's hear it.
I'm just going to couple two important issues together.
Mm.
The labor issues and how we can seriously take advantage, leverage on the issue that are coming up. For us, geographically, you have told us, you know, Namibia is very good.
Mm.
In terms of ecosystem or whatever, you know, climate change and things like that. And we are lucky, that's why I always say, yes, thank God for our leaders who have recognized that the effect, the impact of climate change is going to be, I don't know how they predicted that thing.
Yeah.
And make sure that they accommodate it into our national document, the Namibian constitution, the constitution of the Republic of Namibia.
Mm.
And that vision is from Menetumbo Daitwa.
Yeah.
So, how on earth, and you see, others are struggling, the developed country, with all our resources that they have been taking here and perhaps reserve them there.
Yeah.
You mentioned something that is, why are we so colonized and things like that? When the opportunities are coming, we are saying no. Today I was talking about the ports.
Yeah.
The non-ports.
Mm.
And how the management style, how they want to run it efficiently. And I understand their argument, because so Zambia, Zimbabwe, Botswana, they all got some mercy from us in both in terms of transporting their goods, their cargoes and all these things. And I was just thinking, the people who are we seeing these things as good effort for the development of the Namibia economy and the country at large?
That's a good question.
Should we just be blinded by how do you call it? Because I know, you know, today somebody was talking about media, how they can. So because people, when you listen, not only in Eagle FM, Eagle FM is more diverse. Okay. But sometimes the philosophy, the expert, and all these other people that you come, you interview and they give us some kind of analytical, you know, issues.
Yeah.
They analyze the issue. They sometimes you call them political commentators, social commentators. I don't know which one is which. Some of them, they have earned the title of political analyst. The same people, the same thing, and they will tell you the same thing, and they tell you the same thing. Is that not a biased kind of view? Or analytical view or philosophy? People are going to pack it for today, and tomorrow we are going to deal with it, because sometimes the media seem to be by those people. And therefore they give the wrong narrative. So even instead of creating and telling the people that here in this economic activity, this is what you are talking about, marketing, branding, talking about businesses. This is what, how are we going to leverage on this thing? How are we going to capitalize on these things? Whether it's green hydrogen, whether it's whatever. So because, you know, the analysis becomes so much and they are frustrating and they are giving false information. So today I'll pack it up here and tomorrow we continue. Thank you very much. God bless.
No problem. But Uncle Bona, before you go, how do you feel like, how do you feel being part of the baby boomer generation?
You know, the one after us, I love it. Because when you look at this generation, of their understanding, well immersed. This is the generation that was not so much taught to be just depending on the government or your mother. For us, we knew how we could find our way out, you understand?
Yeah.
We could sort out issues. That's why you are there, giving us about brand conversation, business economic, whatever. And people don't pay attention to these things. So the labor issues, that one we can talk about it tomorrow, is very important because it's being hijacked.
Yeah.
Hijacked. And you see people are grooming and crying and say, who is this one that's representing the people? Is this the new colonial regime for exploitation of our people? That is not about the law. People are blaming that Nuroma. It is the way your attitude, your behavior, your understanding about labor issue, labor matters.
Yeah.
So you must first get sensitized about workers' education. What are their concerns, their interests, and things like that, in order to bargain fairly and effectively. Thank you very much, my brother. God bless.
No problem. Thanks a lot, Uncle Bona. And on that note, although we just have 8 minutes left before the end of tonight's program, just to indicate to you key components. Now, the one of my literature or backup literature that also helps me, you know, indicate some of the directions for our discussion comes from the All Africa, Africa Renewal Platform. It is actually sort of like what is the word, the kind of article that was written? It was almost like those in-depth articles, a feature, yes, a feature. Now, it's titled Africa Sustainable Future, Equipping Young Researchers, Innovators to Work for Climate. And the author, Michele Mbo-Chuwau, I hope I said it correctly, apologies if I did not. Now, he indicates that green alternatives can transform Africa's agri-food systems and generate significant benefits. Now, I point to you, especially with that opening line from that specific article, which also points towards much of the greater narrative, and it's a good thing Angabonan mentioned it, that also gets generated. Now, parts is, it always points toward, yes, get people involved in extractive industries. And that brings us back to the first point. And this is even a point that one of Namibia's business leaders, especially in the construction industry, indicated to me once when I met him on a business meeting once for advertising, where he said, not every Namibian can be in a specific sector. Not every Namibian can be there. Now, I won't call it a fallacy. I also will not indicate it as a complete fact. Because if this is now working under the wishful thinking that this is where all other, the coming generation's prosperity lies in, is to work in extractive industries, it'll always bring you back to point in terms of, now who's going to be the nurses? Who's going to have lodges? Who's going to be working as hoteliers? Who's going to be working in the restaurants? Who's going to be working in the banks? Who's going to be doing that if you want the youth to go to the extractive industries? Now, you and I, we know what the extractive industries will bring. It'll bring the skilled, the super skilled labor from the developed countries, the first world countries, from Europe especially. Now, guys, if you haven't noticed it, I will unfortunately mention it to you. There is unfortunately a new scramble for Africa, and we've seen it become more and more apparent in the past 2 years. France is becoming a little bit more aggressive in the Sahel region, where that public disagreement between France and Mali is now overwhelmingly almost out of control, where the French have kicked out the, not the French, the Malians have actually ended all bilateral relations between them and France. They kicked out the French mission there. You start seeing major developments, especially from the likes of the United States, Namibia's former colonizer, even that being the German state, being actively involved at every level in Namibia. Yes, guys, you've got to identify these major moves. You have to identify these major moves. These major moves have implications from tomorrow onwards into the future. Now, if we are looking for forms of economic prosperity, a lot of the questions has been about, and this is questions that you find on international platforms for youth forums, international platforms that look towards the next business leaders. And for some reason, everyone thinks that every youthful person that graduates from a university must be a Mark Zuckerberg. It's an impossibility. It's not to say that it's not possible for a graduate to pass. You've got to identify the realities. Certain youthful members, like Mark Zuckerberg, them had access early on to the means to become what they are today. They did. They did. Not many people know it. One of the richest men in the world, Warren Buffett. If you guys know who Warren Buffett is, his name is actually supposed to be Warren Buffet, you know, like us going to a buffet. His surname is actually supposed to be pronounced like that. But Warren Buffett, if any of you did not know, his father was an investment banker. He owns the company Berkshire Hathaway. Berkshire Hathaway is a majority stakeholder in McDonald's, Coca-Cola. There's another company. He's got shares, I know, in Microsoft, because he and Bill Gates know each other very well. There's another company also has major stake. His company owns major stakes in. And no one knows, but Warren Buffett always speaks about, you know, these self-help, you know, these inspirational talks. He's one of those business leaders that give you those inspirational talks. But understanding his opportunity in life was that his father was already set from the Great Depression of the 1930s. His father was an investment banker. His father made a ton of money. It's the reason why our current system, financial system around the world, was actually born out of the corrective measures in order to ensure that nothing like the Great Depression happens ever again. And unfortunately, that's some of the first things we've got to identify. Before then, on that note, adios.
Omana ne wodon dara teme hira kama ha poro shuangongo. Hinanga mburo na bimu uramba. Kako 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 kako. Shuana non dara tamba. Wanduare mave ivi korui. Chitu hino kuna nano kushevero uthembawe hii mamaturi wa shua ngungupo waka mwaha. Okusha tukura meno matukiro kukara na wipotha mamahiwe tuombadhu. Ehiro shua ngungu, owini wa shua na ore tuatuhi. Etekatu thero kia njiro vandu okutuha na pare rapo. Ehiro shua ngungu, ehiro horo mende. Mona o, owini wa tuatuhi. Kapeno mundu nguya njiro kushito shapu mavanga. Nuku hino uthemba okutha kuhuwa na pare wambadhu. Po oshirata shomahi otukundwa tokolo mbanda. Ove mwene yo kushevero shukuni no shoye, po ehipu peno nganda yo yeuriri, nondarata, nungwari, kahiro marithiro. Imbo ope njeno veta, oshako veta yo mathuni no wehi, uisha tano yomburo mayovieva rina mbali. Ominisiri yo tutumbono vikunwa, omeva no mathuni no wehi, ino ngendo nongaro njika endithi wova ndushiva, Beka enda kumurungu nukuna nodho ndarata mehira kamwaha nukuhino uthemba. Mona o, ominisiri oshima iya njo ndunge kuimba mbeka endi thongaro njo, okuthoku dhako kongaro hadhe rwanjo. Kehi oveta omatuni no wehi, oveto isha tano yomburo mayovivari na mbari, kapeno mundu nguya njiro kuna nondarata mamahiwa kamwaha nukuhino uthemba. Ngamu mundu nguamu ni kwenjo, mudo njito dhopenje yoveta mape womberero, Yodondo lada Namibia o mayoviane. Po, ombure imwe moshwa kamburu. Po, odombero ade embari, ama pedu kongaro. Imbambe nongo nomo kuitha po dondara tanduba nana, kombundera aro uho na pare. Wina mavethu to dondo lada Namibia o mirongo vitano me yuva arihe, ondara tanjo shirimbo. Ohoromende ino mediri ya okunana, no kuche hiro maturi o shua ngungu, mombiro yoviwa na vyombadhu, mbia tulaporuwedendo. Monda ndo yokuera onde nguyo viungura vyome kurithiro. Odondara tandaya njero wa mamahiwa waka mwaha. Odondande shevero tumbo todonga nda. Ovikuni no. No viunda vyodongombi. Odondara tado penge yoveta. Odondade hende shaero shuwana. Okuunguritha odomburo dhokuti no marindi. Ominisiri maivanga ovakwatira wa Namibia kokusha vemune outhembawa opupeta. Nokumuna odomburo dhokuti. Okuturu ngira mumachero, nomana neno omathimba, momano wonje verero yomade vangeripo. Oshuwa na menara nao, oshimashini ngirwa, okushivithangamwa omana newodon darata wopenje yoveta, koma uhona pare wombadhu, oshirata shomahi waka mwaha, po, ominisiri yopopedhu, njiri modondende radhao. oveta yehi ipirukira omana neno wodon darakta ngeri pengeno oveta monao shitoma ningiro okuturu ngira moshirata shomahi waka mwaha okunana odon darakta momahi waka mwaha nukuhino uthemba opengeno oveta oviungura vietu okuhana parerapo nukuhienenitha omaunguriro omathemba odon buiro dehi monamibia omuhunga wetu Okuye nenitha omahaneno wadhomburo dhehi mwa Namibia, omananeno mathemba no maungurithiro wadho kumbwiro yovature wa Namibia avehi. Ondando, okuhongorela po oshungura shomatu nino wehi, no mananeno wadhoporo harama adhome kurithiro wehi roshua ngungu, nongwithi kilo okudhako horomende ya Namibia, oruwano romahiro wa Europe, no maungurio wakumwe kweno horomende yehiro vando ishi, okuturu ngira mombanga yomekurithiro yehiro vando ishi. Kunjivithiro komurungu hakaena noruparo mapitithiro odhombude the ministry pono moranji. Onoro hambo umwe oimwe.
Ombaro onora, ohambo ndatu, ohambo mbari, omuvyu, ombari, omuvyu.